Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Sangini Bit podcast, Suna Sangini. This is Shreya.
And this is Swetha.
We have an insightful discussion for you all on the worsening COVID-19 crisis in Nepal with our guests Manasvi and Ankita. We're going to walk you through the COVID-19 crisis currently in Nepal, how you as an outsider can help any of our guests with their groundwork efforts, as well as lead you through a discussion on some aspects of Nepali identity, what quarantine in Nepal is actually like, and end the episode with a nice guided meditation for you all.
We hope that the space we've created in this podcast can provide us some form of solace for you listening at home. Whether you're in Nepal, in the US, or another country, if your friends and family members are affected, we're listening. We're here for you, and we hope this episode will be comforting for you.
Whether you're Nepali or identify with the Nepali identity, our country, our culture, have any friends or family from Nepal, please do anything you can in your power to help out. We'll have some links in our episode description leading to some of the groundwork efforts that our guests are mentioning in this episode, as well as additional petitions to sign and other organizations that you can donate to. In the meantime, sit back with a cup of chai and hope you enjoy the episode. Cool. I can start. So I'm Shreya Kadka. I'm based in Boston, in the US. I've been a part of Sangini Bit for a year and a half now. I'm on the organizing team, and I mainly help with any voluntary efforts for fundraising, for raising money. I do marketing as well, and help out with, I'm recently putting on social media and the podcast project onto my workload. What about you?
Hi, I'm Ankita Shah. I'm from Kathmandu, Nepal. Originally, I'm from Rukum, far west of Nepal. That's where my parents, my father was born. So my background is I did my bachelor's in mass communication from Thailand, and then I did my master's in from Tribhuvan University in disaster risk reduction and crisis management, basically. And I've been working in the field of disaster risk reduction for the past 3 years. And recently I've started working in the sector of WASH as well. And overall, I'm very interested to work in the development sector. That is the reason why I joined Bignaharta Nepal as one of the executive board members. So yeah, that's how we ended up starting Operation Two Meals. So I think, yeah, that's about it.
So thank you so much for joining, Ankita. We're gonna break the ice a little bit here and then do a rapid fire question round. So I have about 5-6 questions for you. You're gonna have 3 seconds to answer each one. So go with your instinct, no difficult math or any equations will have to be solved. But if you need me to repeat the question, please let me know. So are you ready to begin?
I think I am, okay.
Cool. So first question is, who is the first person you want to see after the lockdown in Nepal?
All my friends.
That makes sense. Okay, so Dase or Tihar?
Tihar.
Why Tihar?
Because it's not like we have to go to like everybody place to put on tikka. We can just like hang out with our close cousins and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. Dal bat or momo?
Oh no. Momo. I'm sorry dal bat lovers, but I would prefer momos.
Okay, follow up question to that. Steamed dal or fried momo?
Oh my god. Dal momo.
Okay. YY or rumpum?
YY.
Good choice. White rabbit or orange ball candy?
A white rabbit.
Okay, last question I have. Iskus or loka? Okay, good. I was going to roast some people for picking loka, but I'm glad you chose iskus.
I chose iskus. I like, both are fine, so I just like picked one random name.
Yeah. I just learned recently that iskus isn't like a popular
popularly understood term for the vegetable. Everyone says like farsi or iskus. So I'm glad that you knew. Yeah, I had no idea because some of my friends didn't know what iskus was. They thought it was farsi. So.
Oh yeah, but then like iskus is one of the vegetables that I've seen. Like it can grow anywhere, anywhere. Literally, I've seen it grow everywhere.
Yeah, it's actually really popular in Costa Rica too. They eat it like a fruit there, which I didn't know. So learn a new thing every day. Yeah, it's called chayote there. So
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome. I think we definitely fall similarly with some of our food choices. So that's great.
Yeah.
So we can skip to the next section, which will be kind of a discussion on your current work. With the organization you're working with, how we can potentially help with Sangini and anyone else who is listening here, how they can help and reach out to you. So I will follow your lead.
Okay. So we started Operation Two Meals about, like, it's not been that long, the two. We started it around 13th May, which is like around 2 weeks back. So the whole idea about this was to help people, especially the marginalized communities and families from the migrant families and then daily wage earners who are having a really hard time during this lockdown. They were having similar kind of, difficult times in the past first lockdown as well. So that is the reason why we wanted to start it right away. So then we started. So our main concept was just to make people, you know, give them food, basic food, sanitation, and then medicines that they need that can actually, make it easier for them to survive this lockdown because they are not being able to work. So then we started up our page. We put up the campaign name on our social media, and that's how we started. And then the another thing that we targeted was to go outside of the valley because there been a lot of initiatives going on inside Kathmandu Valley, which is quite valid as well, because a lot of cases are in Kathmandu Valley itself, and there has been a lot of shortage of oxygen and medicines and stuff like that. So a lot of people had been and still are focusing inside Kathmandu Valley, but then we wanted to reach out to people who are outside the valleys in one of the remote places, you know, most of the remote places of Nepal. And also that is the that is one of the main core values or core a vision of Bignaharta Nepal as well. So in Bignaharta Nepal, we want to work in one of the most remote parts of the country, where other organizations have not reached out, or even if they did, there are very few organizations that are working in those part of the country. So in this campaign as well, we want to do the same. So that's the reason why we chose five districts. So five districts are Jumla, which is in the far west, Kailali in the Tarai, and then Jonakpur, Hetora, and Biratnagar. So we have our own local mobilizers in each places, who we like to call our local heroes. So we've been coordinating with them on a daily basis, and they've been identifying different households, different families of migrant workers, as well as marginalized communities who have been not treated well in the society. And so, yeah, so we are helping with them with basic food and sanitation supplies as well as medicines.
Okay, awesome. So the organization has been running for about almost 2 weeks now, and you're getting a lot of support from outside of the Kathmandu Valley, which is great too. How are your efforts? What is your most important goal currently right now? Like, what is of the most importance at the moment with kind of, it's been 2 weeks already. So what would you say is your focus?
First of all, our main focus is just help people who are in need. That is the main drive. You know, that's the main reason why we're motivated to do these things. But then right now, I think a lot of people, you know, daily wage earners, they're like struggling to even have one meal a day. So we are trying to, you know, provide them with at least supplies for at least 2 weeks to those families. And another is in a lot of, in Tarai, especially in Kailali, there are a lot of people who have symptoms of coronavirus, but then it's mild symptoms. That's what we've heard from our local mobilizer there. So they don't have like basic medicines like, paracetamol, Sinex, or if they have any bacterial infections, then antibiotics like azithromycin, stuff like that. So we are trying to provide that as well. So for now, our main focus is to provide them with the basic food and sanitation supplies, including nutritional food. So we have also tried to give nutritional food in families where there are kids and pregnant women and elderly people, because we are getting the information about the families beforehand, and then that is how we are designing the packages. So our main focus is food and then medicines and also oxygen. So in Jumla, we are also taking, our team is also going to the field day after tomorrow. So it got postponed. We want to go tomorrow, but then because of all this, permission thing, we had to postpone for a day, one more day. So we are also taking some oxygens in Jumla. So main focus is food, medicines, and oxygen.
Mm-hmm. And how are you currently collecting all of these supplies, food, oxygen, water? How has it been? How has the process been? And not only collecting and receiving, but also distributing all of these materials to your communities?
Yeah, so we have already set up this mechanism. So for here, we've distributed some food and sanitation supplies inside the valley as well, because there were some people who were in dire need and reached out to us. So for here, we actually collaborated with one e-commerce company. So we gave them the money and they delivered the supplies to the family, and one of our representatives went with them to distribute inside Kathmandu. Outside Kathmandu, we have local mobilizers in each districts right now who are managing everything, including the food and medicines. And they give us some budget about, like, for example, like there are 15 families in certain community, and we are wanting to distribute food and sanitation supplies. And then they provide us with the list of the supplies and budget. And then we send them the money, and then they go out and then they buy it safely with taking all precautions. And then they go with their team there, because they have their own team there as well. So they will go with their team to the communities and distribute the supplies.
So yeah. So what has the communication been like with your local heroes, since everyone is spread apart? You can't really meet up in person. Like, how has that been kind of doing that remotely too?
Yeah, I think it has been a lot easier for us to adapt in this, working from home model. So we've mm-hmm. been like kind of adapted to this model. That is the reason why I think it was not that hard for us to, adapt to this kind of coordination. But then other thing is that everybody is so motivated, and then we all are in constant communication. So that's like so important, I think, to run a campaign like this. So we've been communicating, like, we are right here in Kathmandu in our Bighna Harta Nepal team. We are five of us who are actively working in this campaign, and there are five districts. So each one of us, we are coordinating with one local mobilizers for everything. And then we have a meeting every day. So with the local mobilizers, we have like meeting in every 2 to 3 days, but then we are communicating one-on-one every day. And then with our team in Bighna Harta team, we coordinate and communicate. We have a meeting every day. So it's not, I should say it's not, it has not been that hard, I think.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Because they all are very motivated, and they are really, they really want to go out and help people. So I think that is the reason that common, value of everybody, or common, wish of everybody to work, I think, is keeping us together.
That's really nice to hear. What would you say is the biggest challenge you've experienced so far in the first kind of 2 weeks of the launch of this initiative?
The challenge is, like, because we have been getting so many requests, because we've been reaching out to so many people, and there are like hundreds of families who are in dire need of, food and sanitation and medicines and everything. So the main challenge I would say is not enough funds, because there are a lot of initiative out there, and I understand people cannot support every initiative, but then to go to reach out to people in social media is like another challenge as well. We've been getting more requests, a lot of requests every day from different parts. So we've been receiving the requests from another remote area called Calicut, and then from Dolkha as well. So there are a lot of places, and Sorlai as well. So there are so many families that need our help at the moment, but then because of the constraint funds, you know, constraint of funds, it's been hard for us to, you know, manage or reach out to each and every like family.
Just to backtrack a little bit, but like, how are you during this lockdown and this mess in Nepal?
Really scary.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit more about like the current state, and if you can provide context into like your experience in Kathmandu, because kind of the networks that are the areas that you're reaching are outside of the city too. Just to kind of stress the importance of like why the emotional aspect of like why it's important to help. Off the record, but like my mom and my grandma were in Nepal just like a few weeks ago, and they were were in the US, right? So they were able to leave right when that first lockdown was imposed on May 6th, and they got the last flight out of Nepal. But some of our family friends are still stuck there. So I know it's getting really bad.
Yeah, it's like I had never imagined it would be this bad, to be honest, because it was not like this in the first lockdown, because in the first lockdown, it was like most of the people had mild symptoms, and then very few people that I've heard about, you know, they were dying. But then this time, I think the rate of people dying has actually doubled. And then it's really scary to hear like people that you've been talking to or you've been interacting, like, you know, dying just like that. Because in the past 2 to 3 weeks, I've heard like so many of my like people that I know, they've passed away due to this pandemic, due to this virus. And then it's very scary because, you know, it just shook me because at one point, because a person, one of my cousins who I met like just few weeks back, she was like fit and fine, nothing was wrong with her, anything like that. But then her health got so worse in the span of just 10 days, and then a lot of symptoms here are so scary because first it's like a lot of people, they have pneumonia first, and then their lungs start collapsing, and then they will go to the ventilator, and then the next thing you know, like they're gone. So, but then other cases that recently has been like very common is like they recover and then they collapse all of a sudden. Like I've heard so many, like few of my people, like one of my cousins as well, and one of few people that I know of, they died like similar way. So it's like really scary. And then because of the lack of vaccine as well, because a lot of, only 1% of the population has been vaccinated fully. So not, and then all of the other, especially outside of Kathmandu, there are no vaccines. So it's like, it's very scary at the moment. And then pretty disappointed with the way how the government is handling all these things as well. So yeah, it's very scary. It's draining emotionally, mentally, everything, you know. People dying and then at such a young age. So it's quite scary.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that, especially since it's someone so close to home and in such a short amount of time. Yeah. I think the worst thing is also like the fact that you can't even grieve properly, right? Like within 24 hours, it's like, they're gone, but there's no emotional processing and physical, like being physically there to be with your family and all that. So I think that's just a privilege that some people have for something so sad that you can't even do.
The last moment, you know, that was like another thing that hit me really hard, because have you seen like the pictures that has been surfacing Facebook, that people, they go to Pashupati and then they cannot even touch their, you know, their father or their mother or their sister or husband who died because they have COVID. So they cannot like, you know, go and cremate them themselves. So that is like another thing that like shook me to the core. Mm-hmm. So these little things, you know, and then one part is that, and the other part is because of the lockdown, so many people are suffering. Like literally they don't have like a single meal. I've been getting calls every day, me personally, because I've put my number in every banner. So people are calling me every day and asking, you know, for relief. They're, even today I had like so many calls from a place near Bhaktapur, and there are so many migrant daily wage earners there, and they've been calling me constantly every day and asking for help, you know, because they don't have like, even they cannot afford to have one, even a proper one meal a day, and they have like small kids, and you know, it's really sad. So the other part is that as well. So everything is kind of, you know, fallen apart at the moment. So we just want to do anything that we can from our part. So that is the reason why we started this initiative.
Yeah. And I think that hopefully anyone who is listening will recognize that this isn't going to solve itself very quickly, but we must do what we can as outsiders to help in any way as possible, especially being Nepali and having such like a strong Nepali identity. And hopefully our listeners have that connection or have some connection to the Nepali culture that they'll feel obligated or compelled to reach out or help. And hopefully that in the spreading this, the message of your organization will supplement the efforts that are needed to be solved in Nepal now.
Yeah, thank you so much for reaching out. And yeah, I would like to request everybody to at least, like, you know, don't, like, it's not a big amount as well. Like, if one, like, if 10,000 people, they just donate like $100, it can feed like more than 600 families. So it's not much. So like, you know, in Nepali, they say thopa thopa milera samundra bansa. So that's how we want to go forward. So that is the reason why we want to reach out to as many people as possible and take this initiative even longer, because even though the lockdown is going to end, the situation of these people are not going to, you know, solve so fast, because it's going to take time for them to recover as well. So we want to help, like, we want to take this initiative a little further and also identify a few communities where we can work further with them to, you know, empower those communities, because we have been identifying a few groups of people who are very economically disadvantaged and marginalized group of people that we really wish to work with them for in the long term. So for that as well, if anybody is interested to volunteer or, you know, any kind of collaboration is always welcome.
I felt that conversation, Shreya. I'm so glad you brought up the different ways we're all feeling grief during COVID and the mixture of feelings. How do you feel about your conversation with Ankita? And I definitely would love to hear what we can take away from this.
Yeah, I definitely think logistically it was kind of difficult to coordinate the conversation because Ankita's in Kathmandu, I'm in the US. It was definitely a worthwhile conversation. I had no idea the situation was as dire as I had read about, especially hearing her personal accounts of how it's affected her, her family members, how sudden the virus can really take its worst form. But I'm so glad to hear that so much work is being done, not only in Kathmandu and in the valley, but outside, right? Because the whole population is really concentrated there, but there are so many individuals that can't even access like cars or transportation to get to a healthcare facility if they need treatment. And as Ankita said, like hunger is the first thing that needs to be addressed when it comes to health. So Operation Two Meals, what she's working on, was definitely amazing to hear about and how that started and how they're, you know, like starting from the beginning and making sure that food supplies are being donated to not only areas, you know, in Kathmandu, but outside of the valley. Just some resources, just to reiterate some resources that Ankita shared. She mentioned that she's an executive director of Bigna Hartha Nepal. We have linked their Instagram and their Facebook here in the episode description. Please DM them directly to get involved if you want to get involved with Operation Two Meals, with any other initiatives that they're running. There's also a link to donate to Operation Two Meals in our description. It's a GoFundMe page, and 100% of the funds will be distributed to this organization where they will provide one meal. Oh my God, what? Okay. And 100% of these funds will be distributed to individuals in Nepal.
Nice. Yeah, I'm so happy to hear about, you know, what's happening on the ground. I've been seeing a lot of different initiatives, and so that's really great to hear and that you could speak with her. And mainly, I'm so happy that we finally recorded our first episode. And I'm excited to keep fostering our community, at least through this podcast. So I really wanted to thank all of you for listening, Sanginis. And we hope to hear from you on what spoke to you. We'll figure out how you can do that. But in the meantime, if you want to chat or engage with us, give us a follow on Sangini page. We have an Instagram account, Facebook. It's a private group, but you can message us and we'll connect you, or by email. So in the meantime, you know, thank you for listening and catch you on the next part. Take care.